to tell you a little bit about what's going on with him. He ministers in a place that is in a very remote corner of the world, and probably the less you know, the better. And I don't mean that from any kind of dramatic way. I'm just saying that the man does work in a place where a lot of people don't appreciate the kind of work he's trying to do, and a lot of people don't appreciate the God that he believes in and in whose name he ministers. And so he's with us today to let you know what it is that's happening in his life and what's going on in his ministry. He's got part of his family here with him. And so, Father, we ask your blessing on his family as they are here. God, use him mightily. May our hearts be open and our minds be clear to your word. We give you all the praise and all the glory for all the things that you are doing. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Okay. Okay, scoot up here for a second. I just want to introduce my children to you before I continue. My wife, my lovely wife, is in China. She left on Thursday to go back a little early and kind of prepare the way for it. She was supposed to leave last Saturday, but there was an unfortunate incident where one of her plane's engines blew while they were flying from Baltimore to Chicago. So they ended up landing in Dulles. That was a very different route. So anyway, she got a different flight. She flew Thursday. She's home now in China. And we're going to be joining her there pretty soon.
If you want, we'd love for you to be able to get our emails and to keep up with us, because the last time we were here, it's been at least 5 years. Doesn't seem like that long. But if in that stretch of time when we can't be back in America, if you want to receive a prayer newsletter from us or email from us, you've got to leave me your email. I'm not psychic. I don't know your email address. You've got to leave it on the paper out in the lobby, or you can fill out the card that's in your hand and tear off the part and leave the part with us in the offering or whatever you want to do with that to get it to us. That's the only way we'll know who you are, your name, your email, your Facebook name, you know, so we can look you up on Facebook. And we've got a lot of friends on Facebook around the world, and we keep up with that way. Actually, Pastor Russ, I communicate with him primarily through Facebook messages. That's how we communicate. That's how it's been. I'm not sure when that started. It's been a few years, but we'd love to be able to keep in touch with you that way. Go ahead and play this video. And the one question I want to ask before you watch this video is, what do you think of when you think of China? And then watch this video and see what you think. What do you think? Is that what you think of when you think of China? Probably not. It's a very different, China's a huge place. If you've ever been to China or heard of China or heard the news about China, everything you've heard about China is true somewhere in China, but not everywhere in China. China is such a huge place. There are differences in every region. There are differences within local regions. This place you just saw in the video, my son was born in that city. I've walked those streets. My mother has walked those streets the day my son was born. My mom and dad were there on the streets. We were walking those same streets, shopping for our new apartment we had just moved into a few months before. And so those are places we live. We've lived there for years in that particular city. And that's the reality, is there are millions and millions of Chinese Muslims. This video focuses on those people, but there's also millions of Tibetan Buddhist peoples that dress totally different than the Chinese, that speak totally different languages, eat totally different foods than the Chinese do in that region. I say this just by way of introduction, so that when I went to China for the first time 15 years ago, my world was turned upside down, because I also had no idea what I was getting into. I had no idea what I would find there. What I found was diversity, really beyond imagination, within the nation of China. And at the same time, the need of the gospel also beyond imagination. Hundreds and hundreds of people groups, the majority of which do not have a church planted among them, a church that can evangelize their own people. Maybe there's a scattered believer here or there, a small home group here or there, but not an active church, healthy church that can evangelize their own people. The need is still great for people to go and reach into these places. With that introduction having been said, turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I don't want to scare you, but actually I'm going to try to scare you just for fun. I've got a 10-point sermon that I'm going to try to deliver in about 20 minutes. So get your Bibles ready. And if you have a pen, you can just mark down the references if you want. Or I should say, don't just turn in your Bibles. Click over in your Bibles, whoever has the swipe over in your Bible, to the right spot. What I want to do is I'm going to go through a few passages of Scripture from Genesis all the way to Revelation that emphasize what missions is, and to show you that it's not something that's just random or something that we just focus on once or twice a year, but it's essential to our understanding of our faith. We're all the product. Everyone here is the product of missions. None of us would be Christians today if people at some point in history hadn't gone and crossed a culture to take the gospel to another culture, right? All of us are that product. And so it's something that's essential to the growth of the church in every time and in every place. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. The Lord said to Abram, "Go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." There's a lot here in this chapter. Notice that word peoples. That's another word for nations. All the ethnicities, all the people groups of the world will be blessed through Abraham. This is already in Genesis chapter 12. There's already a missionary promise that all the nations, all the peoples of the world will be blessed through the coming Savior who would come from the line of Abraham. My first point, if you're keeping track here, is look at the missionary call. This is Abraham's call, but it also is the missionary call. When God called me, when God calls other missionaries, this is very similar to what he shows us and what he enables us to do. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you." In my case, God had a little bit of a sense of humor. He took me to Peru in order to call me to China. Literally, I was in Peru when the call to China came directly to me, when the opportunity and the door opened to go to China. I was sitting on a bus in Peru after having spent a month or 2 months of hard-working ministry in Peru back in 2002. Before I returned home from Peru, my mom had already helped me buy my plane ticket to China for just 2 weeks later. And I went to China for the first time in the summer of 2002. That two-week trip eventually turned into a year, 2003. And then that year turned into what's now been more than 12 years serving in northwestern China. But I had to go to Peru first. That was the door. That was where the door first opened for me to go. But the missionary call is to leave your land. You're a cross-cultural missionary, right? Everyone's a missionary in the sense that we all share Jesus, but that's not really what the word missionary is trying to say. Crossing cultures, going to a new culture. Now, you can be a missionary right here in America if you're actively crossing a culture that's not your own culture within our borders. It doesn't have anything to do with national boundaries. It has to do with crossing cultures, leaving your people to go to another people. Leave your land, your relatives, and your father's house. Leave it all behind and go where God shows you to go. That's the missionary call. We see it in the example of Abraham right here in Genesis chapter 12. Now turn with me to Psalm 65, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 65, 1 through 5. Praise is rightfully yours, God in Zion. I apologize if you think my translation is strange. It's a new version, Christian Standard Bible. And so I like it, hope you like it. But don't get confused when you see a slightly different wording. Praise is rightfully yours, God in Zion. Vows to you will be fulfilled. All humanity will come to you, the one who hears prayer. God hears our prayers. Verse 3, iniquities overwhelm me. Only you can atone for our rebellions. That's the gospel right here in Psalms. Jesus died for our sins. Only God can atone for our iniquities. Verse 4, how happy is the one you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. Now look at verse 5. This is the one I want to focus on here. You answer us in righteousness with awe-inspiring works, God of our salvation. God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the distant seas, of the farthest seas, it might say in your Bible. Point number 2 is, what is the scope of biblical missions, of Christian missions? The scope is everywhere on this planet. What does it say here? The ends of the earth, the farthest place you can imagine reaching on this world, that's where the gospel is planned to reach, it's going to reach. And the distant seas, there's no island too far, there's no place too distant. And there's missionary stories that you could go and Google and read, and books you could get from the library that tell all kinds of stories. I love stories about the Peak Islands in the South Pacific, the missionaries who went to those places and died and risked their lives going to cannibalistic islands, knowing that others had died before them. And they went anyway because they believed and they stood on this verse and said, no, he's the hope of every island. There's no island I can go to where there's not hope for those people, because the Bible says it here. In our case, it's the other verse here that says the ends of the earth. Now, when I think of the islands as being the distant seas, the Pacific Islands or whatnot, when I read the ends of the earth, I'm thinking the opposite of that is something more or less like the highest villages in the Tibetan Plateau or in the Himalayas or in Peru in the Andes Mountains, the furthest up and in you can get, or maybe in the remotest jungles of South America or Africa. That's what I think of when I see the ends of the earth. And those are the places we're working, the mountains in China. We go to villages sometimes that are literally 13, 14,000 feet above sea level. In Peru, there's a place I went almost a year ago now for the first time. I'd never been there. I heard about it. I said, I got to go there. It's 16,000 feet above sea level. The town, it's a city of 50,000 people at 16,000 feet. It only exists because there's gold under the glacier that sits adjacent to the town. And it's a nasty place. Nastiest place I've ever been in my life. Running sewage in the streets, pollution, mercury running in the streets from the gold process that they do to cleanse the gold, prostitutes, drinking all over the place. Crazy place. But we gave out, in 2 days' time, we gave out thousands of little scripture portions and Bibles and talked to people all over this town. And we were only there for 2 days because we couldn't stand it any longer. We couldn't breathe. Couldn't even walk hardly. But he's the hope of the ends of the earth. The ends. You can go to the islands, but you can also go up and in to the tops of the mountains. The scope of missions, this is point number two, the scope of missions is everywhere on this planet. There's no place that is not within the reach of the gospel. No place on earth. Think of the hardest, think of the most difficult, think of the most dangerous. It's all within the scope of missions. Now turn with me to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. You probably know this passage by heart, maybe. Matthew 28, verse 18. We're going to start in verse 18. Some people skip straight to 19, but 18 is probably the more important verse in this passage. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." The power for missions is in Jesus. Jesus is the power behind missions. He's the strength of missions. Everything is through his strength and through his power. Nothing is in our own strength and our own power. Nothing that we do. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. Therefore, that word therefore tells us we have to read the verse before because that's what it's based upon. The first verse, all authority is given to me. Therefore, go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Again, that word nations is the same idea that we read in Genesis. All peoples, all ethnicities. It's not talking about countries. It's not saying Ireland and France and Germany. It's all the peoples, all the nationalities within every country on earth. So there are 200 and something odd countries, but there are tens of thousands of ethnicities. Tens of thousands of cultures and dialects and languages that all need the gospel. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, all nationalities, all peoples. The power for missions is in Jesus himself. He gives us the power to go and to serve. It's not in our own strength, never will be, and it never can be. Turn with me to Romans 15. Now, I told you we'd be moving quickly. Romans 15. Romans 15. So we've got so far the missionary call, the scope of missions, the power for missions, and Romans 15, we're going to look at the focus of missions. Romans 15, we'll start with verse 20. Verse 20, there's a whole lot in Romans 15 we could do. It's all about missions, Paul's missionary call, but verse 20 is the most precise verse we can look at. Romans 15, 20, Paul said, "My aim is to preach the gospel where Christ has not been named, so that I will not build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written," verse 21, "those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand." Now there's two types of missionaries in the world. I'm this type, Pauline type missionary, that you're called to go where no one has gone before. So when there's a church established in a place, then our call is to go on to the next place where there's still no church established and to keep going. All of Romans 15 is about Paul's desire to go to Spain because he had already finished the work, he said, from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. That's thousands of miles distance. He said, "I'm done here. Well, he didn't reach everybody. They're not all Christians, but he was done because there were churches enough planted that they could begin to evangelize their own people. And he said, I'm done. I got to go to Spain because no one's preached the gospel in Spain before. And I'm going to Spain. That's a Pauline type missionary. It's a pioneer missionary going and making a trail where there's no trail ever been made. In China, we walk in villages all the time. It's hard to even comprehend. We walk in villages all the time where no missionary has ever set foot. No Christian has ever set foot. We meet people all the time that have never seen a white person. They've never seen a Christian in their life. Zero access to the gospel. No Christian radio, no Christian TV. They've never read a Bible verse. They've never heard anything of Jesus or the gospel in their life, other than maybe hearing the name Jesus, maybe used in derogatory fashion or in some TV or movie or radio. This is reality, reality for us and for others that I know in India and other places in the world. This is the reality. So the focus of missions is on the unreached, the people who have never heard the gospel. Now, there are missionaries called, I'll say this just so you don't leave here thinking, wait a minute, what about all those other people? There are missionaries that are Timothy-type missionaries. And those are the ones who go to an established church and they serve and they evangelize and they teach and they preach. And it's a great thing. It's what Timothy was. Timothy was a Timothy missionary. He went and Paul established him and he served the church faithfully for decades, for years of his life. That's a Timothy type missionary. Paul couldn't do what Timothy did. That's why he set Timothy there and said, you stay here. I'm going to go further and further up and in where no one's ever heard the gospel before. So the focus of missions is to be either a pioneer, Pauline missionary, or to be a Timothy and to serve in that way, whatever God might call you to do. But my focus and our focus in China is on the first one. In China, there are people that are Timothy missionaries that go and they serve the church and they teach and they teach in underground church networks. And those are wonderful people. But it's a whole different world in China where you have Christians in some places and other places where there are no Christians. And there's never been a Christian. There's never been a church in these places. Turn with me now to Revelation chapter 5. The missionary call, the scope of missions, the power for missions, the focus of missions, and now Revelation 5, we're going to look at the hope of missions. The hope of missions. How many points did I say there'd be? 10 or 8?
10.
10. It's going to be 9, I think. So I'll give you guys a little bit. I've already skipped one, just try to make it a little bit quicker. Revelation chapter 5, the hope of missions. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10, and then I'm going to skip and continue reading at Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. So Revelation 5, 9 and 10, continued immediately with 7, 9 and 10, all together, so you can hear what's being said here clearly. The elders, it says, they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slaughtered. Jesus was slaughtered. For what? And you purchased people for God by your blood from every tribe and language and people and nation. You made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth. 7:9. After this I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." The hope of missions. God gives us a glimpse. He doesn't just tell us to go. He says, "I give you all power to go." Paul gives us the focus and explains what the focus is, but God in his mercy shows us a vision to John that he passes on to us of what the future looks like. And the future for us looks like worshiping together with people. What does it say? From every tribe and every people and every language and every tongue. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say most. It says every single one. There's no people group on earth that's so difficult that we are not going to reach some. None. We can go everywhere, and we know that God, the Holy Spirit, is already working in those places and already moving in those places. We go in his power, with his focus, and with the hope that he gives, knowing that we're not working and laboring in vain. God in his mercy gives us this glimpse of the future. We can look at so many nations in the world today, so many peoples in the world today, and say, how in the world? Even the Chinese. In China, one of the issues we have is the Chinese Christians that do exist in some places, not every place, but the Chinese Christians that are there have grown calloused in some cases to the Muslims and to the unreached around them. It's easy for Chinese to reach their own people to speak their own dialect and language, but when they see the Muslims and they see the Tibetans, they see savages in some cases, and they'll say that literally, the Tibetans are savages. There's no hope for them. Or the Muslims are too difficult, too hard-hearted. There's no point in reaching out to them. That's not the attitude of Scripture. That's not the attitude that the Bible teaches us to have. There's hope for every people. We know it because it's right here in Revelation chapter 5 and chapter 7. The call of missions, the scope of missions, the power for missions, the focus of missions, and the hope of missions. Those are 5 points. Now we're going to shift gears. And the last 4 points are a little different points. You can start over again with 1, 2, 3, 4 probably if you're writing down here. It's different and it's probably quicker even than what we just did. Go back to Revelation 5, verse 8. We started a minute ago in verse 9. I want you to skip back one verse. One verse there. Revelation 5, verse 8. When he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp and golden bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. I want to talk about prayer for a minute. I want to give you 4 ways that you can pray for us in China, and you can really apply these to any missionary that you might support or know about. But look at this verse again. The prayers of the saints are before the throne of God, and they are remembered. They're not forgotten. Your prayers for missions, your prayers for your family, for your church, though they don't just hit the ceiling and kind of stop there. They reach the throne if they're prayed in faith, of course. But our prayers are remembered, and God is answering our prayers, and he will remember our prayers. In other words, prayer is not unimportant. It's not in vain. Our prayers matter. They're heard by God. So be encouraged as you pray. Don't be discouraged and thinking that your prayers don't reach the heavens. It says here that our prayers reach the heavens and are remembered even once we've forgotten our prayers. How long does it go? We forget our prayers a day later. We don't know what we prayed 2 days ago or 3 days ago. But God never forgets. They're remembered before his throne every day. With that in mind, Colossians 4, 2 and 3. Again, you can try to find it real quick, or you can just write it down. Colossians 4, 2 and 3. 4 ways you can pray for missions and missionaries. Colossians 4, 2 and 3. Devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us. This is Paul talking. That God may open a door to us for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Number one, pray for open doors. Pray for open doors in China for us. Pray for open doors specifically in Western China. Pray for open doors in every place that you know somebody working on a foreign field. And by all means, pray for open doors in your own neighborhoods right here, in your own jobs, wherever you work. This is a prayer that God will answer. How would he not answer this prayer? Lord, give me an opportunity, an open door to speak life, to speak truth to those around me. He will answer your prayer in that case. Right now in China, in northwestern China, in our region where we live in China, my wife just arrived home, but 2 weeks ago now, a team arrived there. A team has been working there. I've been consulting with them a little bit, but they've had some issues. Their main job while they're there for these 2 or 3 weeks is to distribute tens of thousands of little Bible portions in unreached areas. And the way they do that, the way we do that, some of you know this from our newsletters, is they go around at night. In China, you're not allowed to go door to door in the daytime. You'll get kicked out of the country really quick if you try to do open evangelism. But we still want the people in the villages who have never heard of Jesus to read the Bible. We want them to know about Jesus and to have a chance to understand his word and the gospel. So these teams go out at night. They rented a car, they drive out to remote village areas, they get out and they canvass villages and towns and mountain villages for hours during the middle of the night. Usually when the moon is the fullest, we try to plan the trips around that so they have a little bit of light to see out there. Well, this team's doing that right now, right this moment. Right now they might be getting ready. See, it's midnight in China. They're probably hitting the streets right now in unreached villages in Western China. Pray for this team. But this week, they've had issues. This week, they got chased around by the police a whole bunch. And so pray for open doors for them. This very night, they're going to be going door to door. And they walk up to these huge Chinese ancient-looking doors. And on every door, they'll leave a booklet stuck somewhere where it's not on the ground. Hopefully, it's on the door itself. In some cases, they'll walk up to a temple or a mosque. And for whatever reason, sometimes they leave the mosque doors open because inside the mosque, there's a huge courtyard and numerous doors where students live, where people live.
And I like giving this example because we pray for open doors, and what happens? You walk up to a mosque and the door is wide open. Do you leave one Bible on the door? Or do you go in the door and leave a dozen Bibles in every door inside the mosque? It's hard to do. It takes boldness to walk through that open door. And that does bring me to my next point. Number two, pray for boldness. What happens when you pray for an opportunity to share with your neighbor or your coworker, and God does it? The very next day, all of a sudden, they come to you and they have a question and you have an opportunity to share with them. The first thing that comes up in our natural flesh is a little bit of fear, a little bit of intimidation. And what we need is to be bold and not rely on our flesh, but to rely on the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6:19, I believe it is. Paul says, let's see. Pray also for me, 6:19, Ephesians 6:19, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. If Paul needed prayer to be more bold, how much more do we need to pray for boldness? Now, the boldness we're asking for is a boldness that's really the filling of the Holy Spirit. In Acts, when they were filled with the Spirit, they were given boldness, it says. And you can't be truly bold if you don't have the Spirit. And you don't have the Spirit working in you if it doesn't give you boldness as you speak God's word. The Holy Spirit does not lead us out in fear to share His word. So pray for the team right now in China. They have open doors, but they would have the boldness to walk through those doors. And if they do get arrested, which could happen, this week it almost happened. This week they got, I don't know what happened. They weren't talking to me very much. They were trying to keep me safe and not have communication with me while it was happening. But they had to change hotels 3 or 4 times. The police came and interrogated them a couple times. But they're safe now, they tell me, and they're trying to continue the work. But what happens when you do get arrested? Do we shy back in fear, or do we continue to speak boldly even to the police who have never heard the gospel either? Those are things that happen in China every year. Number three, pray for protection. Protection. I won't give you a verse here. It's all over Scripture. Of course, we pray for protection. That's the most common prayer that we pray for missionaries, I think, is Lord, protect them. That's kind of the first thing that pops into our mind. And it's true. We need protection. But I would say this. If you pray that prayer, remember two kinds of protection. We need physical protection, but we also need spiritual covering, spiritual protection. It's not easy to live in a place that's not your native home. It's not easy to live in a culture where you don't have Christians around you all the time. You're not in a church fellowship like this every day. Some of you guys know he lived in a real hard place for 5 years. He lived in a place where he had very little fellowship. Some local Christians, a handful of believers that would come through the school where he taught at and be with him, but he didn't have a church, an English-speaking church, for years and years and years. It's a difficult place to be. And we were always blessed to go visit him. We lived a few hours away, but we'd go visit a couple times a year and spend time, and we had great fellowship there together. And so pray for missionaries like ourselves and like when he was there that are serving in isolated places where the gospel has not been preached, where there isn't the same opportunities to grow and to be strong in the faith. The Holy Spirit needs to work in those circumstances. Pray for spiritual and physical protection. This next week, my kids and I are going to be traveling by car in China, thousands of miles. Pray for our protection as we travel, our protection as we go places I haven't been in many, many years and see some friends that we need to see and people we need to see there. Finally, everyone say amen. Finally, last one. Finally, turn to Luke 10:2. Luke 10, chapter 10, verse 2. If you talk to, I would say any missionary, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, if you talk to any missionary and say, what are your top 5 prayer requests? This one right here would be in their top 5, any missionary. And we all have been on fields. We've all been places where the need is greater than what we know we can do ourselves. So the prayer is always, Lord, we need more missionaries, more laborers. It's a natural prayer. Even without having Jesus promise here that the Father would answer the prayer, just naturally our prayer is, Lord, send more missionaries, more workers to the field. Luke 10:2, the harvest, he told them, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Jesus himself tells us that we can ask the Father and he will send out workers into the harvest. Please pray for more laborers, for more workers. God will answer the prayer. I will warn you, though, he might answer it by calling people to missions or other things.
that maybe you don't even want them to go because they're your own children or your own grandchildren or your own family. Right, Mom? Now, I don't think my mom ever prayed that I would go to China, but I know my grandmother was a woman of prayer, and she didn't pray that I'd go to China either, but she did pray that we would serve the Lord, and the Lord answered her prayers, and it hurt her when we went to China in the sense that she wasn't near her grandkids. She only had two grandkids, and when my grandma passed away in 2009, my brother and I and my son, we weren't there for her funeral. We were doing missions. We were on the mission. My brother was there for the summer, and I had gone to visit him, and I spent a whole week while Zach, my brother, worked. We passed out thousands of tracts the week my grandmother died in Oklahoma City. She loved us serving the Lord, but it's not easy. So be prepared. If you pray what Jesus said to pray, he might call people that are very near and dear. So be ready to give them over to the Lord to do what he is calling them to do. Be aware and be ready to do that. Two quick testimonies. This prayer for laborers in my own life. We've prayed for laborers for years. We prayed for laborers ever since I went to China. Lord, we need more people. But I just mentioned he's an answer to that prayer. I don't know if he's ever told you the story of how we connected. It's ask him sometime. He'll tell you the story. I'll tell you just the quick version is I didn't know from anybody. Nobody. We didn't even have a mutual friend, really. I sent a testimony into a ministry in California that had blessed me years and years ago saying, now I'm serving in China. Da-da-da. Testimony. Somehow that got to a guy in that ministry and happened to be friends of and they went out every Friday night witnessing on the streets. And when came to and said, hey, I'm feeling called to do something. I don't know what. I might go into the military. I might go into I just don't know. He said, hey, we saw an email from a guy in China not too long ago. Maybe you should contact him. And he passed on my name and email to this is 2008. And emailed me. And I said, don't go to the military. Come to China. Basically, I don't know where else to go. I don't know where else to tell him to go. But yeah, we could use you in China. Come to China. And he started looking for work and found a job teaching English just a few hours from where we are. And the rest is history. He spent from 2009 until 2015 or 16, he spent 5 of those years in China serving near us and with us and has become great friends of our family and our kids and our kids' lives. He's like Uncle D. And so God answered our prayer. And there's so many stories like it. And the final one I'll tell you this is there's a young lady in Venezuela. I'm holding in my hand here Venezuelan money, by the way. I'll tell you in a minute how much this is worth. I got 800 Venezuelan bolivares in my hand right here. So this girl, she's from the Pentecostal Holiness Church in Venezuela. Her parents were saved and have served under the Pentecostal Holiness missionaries that were there in the 80s and 90s. She's felt a call to Asia and China since she was 7 years old, 7 or 8 years old. She's 27 now. And I heard about her from some other friends years ago. There's a girl in Venezuela who might want to go to China someday. I said, that's wonderful. I don't know how we can help her. I mean, maybe someday. You know, that's all I could say. And this girl wrote me an email in 2011, or sorry, a Facebook message, 2011, about, I want to know more about China. Somehow, I read it, and I was going to respond, and it got down the list, and I just never saw it again. Never responded to her. And last year, somehow, I saw her name again, or somebody told me about her again. I said, I'm going to write here and see what she's doing. So I wrote her an email about a year ago. And finally, the response came after 6 years. She said, the response to my original message. But she's still called to China after all these years of waiting. She's the missions director at her church, the Pentecostal Holiness Church, 27 years old. Last month, we got to meet her for the first time. She came to Peru. My family was in Peru. My wife's from Peru. Our other teammates who serve with us in China, there's a Peruvian family in China. There's a Mexican family in China. Our team in China is all Latinos except for me. I'm the one. And I speak Spanish fluently. So I'm basically call me, they don't know what I am, but. But our team is all Latinos. She came and met our team and really it was an amazing time. Her heart for China is, we felt like we'd known her for years. We felt like she had been to China already with us. And she was so in tears. She would say, I finally found people like me that understand my calling. And we did. It was just the same kind of thing, same heart. And but Venezuela is in a tough place right now. So we're still praying that God would open that door. But God is definitely raising up laborers, this young lady in Venezuela. That brings me to the money. I don't know if you know what's going on in Venezuela. This is 800 bolivares. This used to be worth $200, 4 to 1. Well, $200, right? So right now, last I heard from her, this 800 bolivares is worth a grand total of 20 cents. 20 cents of our money. 4,000 to 1. 4,000 to 1. And next month, I've got 7 $100 bills here and 5 $20 bills here. The $20 bills are already obsolete. They don't even use them anymore because it's so little money. The hundreds, as of next month, are going to be obsolete because it's only worth about 2.5 cents for one of these hundreds. And they're going to totally do away with the hundreds there. Anyway, Venezuela's in a real tough place. So if she does make it to China from Venezuela, it's going to be a miracle. It's going to be a miracle. So pray for more laborers and pray that God would open up that door. Now, I say a miracle. There are ways. I mean, we're going to have to help her come. So people like you guys giving, and we do thank you for your support to us. That's going to be the way she's going to go, and God's going to use her. Because in their country, the average minimum wage right now is like $35 a month. So it's going to have to be a miracle, and God's going to use people like us to help raise up this person who's called to China and is willing and ready to go. We asked her, she said, I'm free. So I said, well, praise God, we're going to pray that God would bring you by the end of this year. We're hoping that she can join us in China. And it won't be just for a week or 2 weeks. It'll be for a commitment of a couple years, probably, that she'll come. And so pray for, and that's just another testimony, God raising up laborers. Pray for her. Your support for us as a church and your support for us, it doesn't just go for us, and not everyone knows this, but it goes to our whole team. Our whole team is supported through the support that we receive as a family. And our team now has, if Kim joins us, it'll be 16 individuals because the families have kids. So the Mexican family has 3 boys, the Peruvian family has 2 kids, and I've got these 3 here. And so it's a large team, but God is definitely opening up doors for us in China. So I do close with that. Pray for open doors, boldness, protection, and more laborers. More laborers. There's one last video. And before you start the video, let me just say a quick prayer. And then after the video, Pastor's going to come. I do hope you remember some of what I said. I know it was quick. So let me pray. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else I missed saying to you. We leave tomorrow at 11 a.m. from Baltimore. We'll be back in China. Eastern Standard Time, will be in China, let's see, it'll be Tuesday morning at 7:30 in the morning. So we leave at 11 tomorrow, and we arrive 7 a.m. the next morning. It's about a 20-hour trip just to get to Beijing from Baltimore. So pray for us as we journey. And don't forget later on to come and talk to us at the table, sign your name, take some free stuff, buy some coffee. And I can't take the coffee with me probably, so... Let me pray. Father, I do thank you for this church. I thank you for the people that are here. I thank you for your word, Lord, that gives light to our eyes and helps us to see your heart for the nations, your heart for people, Lord. And I do pray that our steps and our prayers and our actions and our the decisions we make, Lord, would be in step with you, and that would be ultimately to give you the most glory through our lives, to honor you the most, to lift up your name most, so that your name would be known, not just in our little home and our little church, but in every home and in every place on this earth. Lord, we pray that your name would be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
So probably lots of reactions, as many people as there are in the room. You probably, some of us had similar reactions, but there are 2 responses to this. In my mind and in my heart, I think there are 2 responses. One, you go home and you think, what a great presentation, and then you just let your life overcome you again, and you go right back to living the way you were. Or 2, you set this time and this day apart in your mind and realize that you're called to missions. It's third Sunday, so we're going to talk a little bit about Exodus Fellowship because we support missions here and we believe in missions. You can either go home and think, what a great presentation, or you can go home and say, what can I do where I am with the people that I have influence with? How can I be used in my sphere? How can God use me to preach or to teach or to exhort or to encourage? How can I be a Paul or how can I be a Timothy where I am? And maybe if you've got the guts, maybe you might even pray, God, if I'm supposed to go somewhere else. What's interesting about being called out of your homeland is what it really means is being called out of your comfort zone. That's what it means. Leave everything that you know that's familiar, everything that you know that's safe. Leave all your favorite restaurants. Leave all the towns and the streets that you know how to get to where you're going. You know how to drive to those places. Leave it all and trust God to use you. What a powerful testimony. Thank you so much. Out of wild curiosity, how old are you?
33.
33.
In 2002, I was 18.
Yeah.
High school.
Called ministry. What are you doing with your life? That's what I'm asking myself that question right now. What am I doing with my life? You've got these cards, and we'll talk about that in just a second, but I do want to pray for his family as we close this portion of the service. Father, we thank you so much for such a strong, powerful testimony. And God, everything that you taught us to pray for, we pray in these moments. We pray for peace, and we pray for security, and we pray for safety. We pray for physical protection, and we pray for spiritual protection. God, we pray for workers. We pray for laborers to go and join him and them and their family and that group of people who are, you heard the man. We all heard the man. They're reaching out to people who have never seen white people or heard the gospel. Maybe if they've heard the name Jesus, it's either been in a derogatory sense or maybe in a movie, maybe, or I don't know. Strengthen them, Father. Only your abundance and provision is enough to uphold them. We ask for all of these things, God, in your holy and precious name. Amen.